in Simchas Shinah Ches. We did Sif Beis, and now we're doing the Shaburas on Sif Beis. Shaburas are cut in Ches. So the case was the Chola got sick on Shabbos. So the person shefting the behemah on Shabbos for Chola. So we're saying that there's no concern that there's no problem with a healthy person eating the meat raw, because there's no gzeira that he might do extra for the healthy person, because there's only one act of shechita, whereas, as opposed to a case of bishul, contrasted with a case of bishul, where we're afraid he might cook extra for the healthy person if we're going to allow the healthy person to eat it. So Mishabura says, okay, so you solve the gzeira drabanan of shemer yarba bishviloi. There really are two other problems over here, which need to be explained. One is what happened to Muksa. The animal at the beginning of Shabbos was alive. He shafted it on Shabbos. Beginning of Shabbos, it was alive. An animal which is alive is Muksa. So that is question number one. Question number two is, eating meat raw, you can't salt the meat either on Shabbos. So how are we eating this meat without salting? So Mr. Burr and Sivkat and Ches is going to deal with the Muksa question. And Mr. Burra and Sivkat and Yud will deal with the Malicha question, the question of salting. Okay. So Mr. Burra and Sivkat and Ches. Shechol HaYom. L'arin and the Behema, he Muksa, Machmas, Isser, is Ketzor, Ben Shmoshes. It was Muksa, Ben Shmoshes, Machmas, Isser, Shechita. Because you're not allowed to do Shechita at that point in time. So, Shabbos Apam Lohoya Chola Dayan, she had died till the Shachta. If a person was ill before Shabbos, and the people were aware of the possibility that this person was deathly ill, he might need fresh meat on Shabbos. So it's not Muksa, because the person before Shabbos already is intentionally planning, if necessary, to save the life of the by shechting the animal. But the person, that scenario was not true before Shabbos. At the beginning of Shabbos, it was Muksa. And we should argue that it should remain Muksa. The rule is, once it's Muksa, it remains Muksa for the rest of Shabbos, even if the potential problem which caused the Muksa is gone. Over here, the problem that would cause the Muksa is the fact the animal's alive, in Al Shecht. So you have no way to access this animal. The same way we say an apple is Muksa, because you're not allowed to take the apple off of the tree. So even if the apple eventually falls off the tree on its own, but it doesn't make a difference, because at the beginning of Shabbos, the way to access the apple was through plucking it, which is also to do on Shabbos. So that makes it Muksa. So over here, the way to access the meat of this animal is by shechting it on Shabbos, which is also. So we should say that it's Muksa. The answer is, though, Anan Kaim alone can Rishim and the Leslay Muksa, Allah Behech the Dachib Yadayim. Kanir Shalika love Boys of Shabbos. Dachib Yadayim Shalika Shamash Boys of Shabbos, Kim Shalika Boy. Kabahim Allah Dachib Yadayim. That there's a rule by Muksa that the Rishim holds that Muksa is only true if the person intentionally makes it unavailable. Rishim holds that everything is automatically Mukhan. Everything is the opposite of Muksa is Mukhan. Allah is, the pasuk says, "V'chino shashiviu," that which you want to use on Shabbos has to be mukh and has to be prepared before Shabbos. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon have a very, very basic machlokes. Rav Yehuda holds that unless a person has intent to make something available to use on Shabbos, it's not considered mukh. It's not considered that it's been prepared and designated for usage from before Shabbos. Rav Shimon, and therefore many things are muksa, because the person has not had active intent to designate it for usage on Shabbos. Rav Shimon says the exact opposite. The automatic assumption is everything is mukhan for Shabbos. Everything is intended to be used, unless a person would actually actively make it unusable. So the example the Gemara gives is Gregor's and Samukim. So a person cuts the figs, and now he puts them out to dry. So in the stages of the process of putting them out to dry, first, as all the liquid comes out, it becomes inedible, and eventually, as it dries out totally, it becomes edible again. So the act of putting it away into the process of drying is intentionally making it unusable. It's going to get to a stage where it's inedible. So that is Dachib Yadayim. A person lights a nair before Shabbos. So you cannot take out the oil from the nair, because so by you cannot take out the oil from a nair which is burning because it's considered kibui. So by lighting the nair, you've intentionally made this inaccessible. You didn't necessarily have intent to make it inaccessible. You intend to make it in the state which is considered an inaccessible state. That's called you were doichet into being not muchan. So dach b'yadayim. But over here it wasn't dach b'yadayim. He just didn't shecht it. So that he calls not dach b'yadayim. Now, fine. There is what to. He says, "I know Rabbi Yosef." There is what to discuss. Like, so according to this, we should say according to Shimon, if an apple falls off the tree on Shabbos, it's mutari because it wasn't dachbi yadayim. So Rashi says that no, the choice not to pick it is equivalent to being dachbi yadayim. So it could be there's a difference between the choice and not to pick an apple, which an apple is omed for the purpose of being picked. Some of the apples were ripe and ready to be picked, and a person chose not to. That's more of an act of dechia b'yadayim than an animal, which is not necessarily omed for shechita at this stage of its life, even though it might be eventually. So the act of not shechting it is not the equivalent of a dechia b'yadayim. Am I making sense on that?
Okay. Wait, hold on. I thought by definition an animal was ready for shechita. Essentially, the moment it's born, the only thing is you can't bring it for a korban until it's 8 days old.
Ready for shechita and oymed for shechita are two different things. Right, it's not oymed for shechita. The person
designated.
Right, the person is not necessarily planning to. Eventually, he might, after it becomes useless for work, he's shechting this cow. It's not producing milk anymore, so he might shecht it. But right now, he's planning to use it for milking or something of that sort. So. Okay, so we say the law is that when they shecht it for the chayla on Shabbos, the healthy person is allowed to eat from the meat as well. Mutar bori atam the kima the ikar shkita the tzarcha chayla, because it's not called that he's shechting for the chayla and for the bori, and that's also he's shechting for the chayla. The yashal the gazayis basar b'lo shkita, because we need that. We're saying the situation was that this person's danger to his life warrants getting him fresh meat. Okay, so that's the situation. That's mutar. Then there's no concern that the shaychet will be marbe b'shiloi. Now, it's an interesting question. If I have a choice of shechting an animal which weighs 500 pounds, and shechting an animal which weighs 600 pounds, am I doing more of an act of taking out the neshama with animal weighs another 100 pounds more? Or no, regards to the Natilas Hashama, the act of killing the animal, they're the same. So we're assuming over here that's considered the same. So it's not considered, he'll pick a fatter animal to feed more people, it's a problem. Mishabura Yud. Chai b'Shabbos, he's going to eat it raw. So the Mishabura B'loi Malichi, he can't salt it on Shabbos, because Dotsalim Loich b'Shabbos, he can't salt meat on Shabbos. So that goes into the nature of salt as it pulls out the blood, and it, by pulling out the liquid, it hardens it. So that is similar to the process of pickling, according to one shot. It goes under the issue of pickling. So you can't salt it on Shabbos. But what happened to the blood? I mean, you have blood over here. You're not salting it. How are you eating it? There's blood here. So look like this. So the rule is that blood, which is absorbed in the muscle and in the actual body of the animal, is only usur once it leaves its original place. So the blood, which is diffused throughout the different form of the animal, is not usur to eat. When you cook it, that you cause the blood to move, that blood will now become osur. But if you're eating it raw, so that blood is part as it came naturally as part of the meat is not also. What blood is also? The blood which is in the, not diffused through the meat, the capillaries, but the blood which is in the larger veins and larger arteries. Well, that you got out when you shechted it, that blood came out. So we're worried about the dam which is in the avor. So the blood which is on the surface, you have to wash off, because that's not inside of the meat, but the blood which is inside of the meat. It's not also calls Marshall a parish, as long as it hasn't moved from its original place. However, if a person cooks on Shabbos for a chayla, a healthy person cannot eat it on Shabbos, also for Shabbos. But if Shimon is deathly ill and Reuben goes and cooks on Shabbos for Shimon, so Levi cannot eat that extra food. Shimon did not eat too much. Reuben cooked, you know, what he thought was the right amount. Shimon ate a small amount. Levi wants to eat the rest. Levi cannot eat that amount on Shabbos. However, he can eat it on Motzi Shabbos. Immediately, he doesn't have to wait. Checking the taste to make sure that the food tastes good and the chayla will have something which he's able to stomach, that's mutter. That's not called, we're afraid you're Arba Bishalayim. I'm going to make an extra portion. Over here, I'm just taking and tasting as I'm making it. That's not a problem. So it's also for a healthy person or a even a person who's not healthy, but he's only unhealthy to the extent of Ein Bo Sakana. Sheva Sakana, Begam Hu, Kibori, Vinyin Zet. So he's considered like a Bori. Shalsim and Atrela Bashal Abu Roy, Ayre Yisrael, Shin and Shimina Tiroi, Lechum Zet, Shemri Abu Bishalai. So it's an interesting thought. The Chayla Sheva Sakana might be even actually more problematic, because the chashash of Shemayam Mishiloi might be the greater.
More than
a regular healthy person.
Entirely healthy parents.
So, again, Shimon is definitely ill. The doctor says that Shimon has to have some fresh cooked food. So Reuben cooks the food to give to Shimon. Now Levi is also sick, not to the point that it's life-threatening, that you ever had to cook for him in Shabbos, but he's pretty sick. He said, oh great, I have some fresh hot food, it'll help you feel better. Right? No, we can't do that because we're fetching my Yarmouth Mishaloi. So there actually is a greater motivation to feed that food to the sick person who's not in a situation of life or death than maybe giving his support to you. So regardless of both cases. Okay, so in the case of when he cooks on Shabbos, it's also Shema Yarbe Bishuloi. Within Bosh of the Sacha Gedere, he's going to add some more meat into the pot. No Yisad the Raisa, because Shema Bishuloi, that's considered Yisad the Raisa. So if he put up five pieces of meat on the pot to cook, and then he said, you know, after the ready cooker, and he said, let's add, which that's an amount which is sufficient for the deathly ill person. Shimon only needs five pieces. He put up five pieces. And now he says, you know, let's throw an extra one on because it's a Levi camps of food also. So that would be an issue of the rice. Okay? Because that happened, Bizachar said. Let's say, however, we put all six pieces of meat on in the pot. At the one time, so each one of them can argue that, you know, I'm the right one. So maybe we should argue, but that's not nice and derisive. In that situation. In some sense, it's derisive. I'm derisive. Which says that it is in only in Issa Darabana. No, I'm sorry, it says it's in Issa Daraisa. Fine. So, you know, let's hold it here. We'll pick up again tomorrow.